namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
yathagyas
tamasa
yukta upaste
vyaktam
eva
hi
na
veda
purvam
aparam
nashta
janma
smritis
tata
yathagyas tamasa
yukta
upaste vyaktum eva hi
naveda
purvam aparam nashta janma smritis tata yathagyas tamasa
yukta
upaste vyaktum eva hi naveda
purvam aparam
nashta janma smritis
tata
just as agya, an ignorant living being,
tamasa,
in sleep,
yukta,
engaged,
upaste,
acts according to,
vyaktam,
a body manifested in a dream,
eva,
certainly,
he,
indeed,
naveda,
does not know,
purvam,
the past body,
aparam,
the next body,
nashta,
lost, janma smriti,
the remembrance of birth,
tata, similarly. As a sleeping person acts according to the body manifest in his dreams and accepts it to be himself, so one identifies with his present body, which he acquired because of his past religious or religious actions, and he is unable to know the past or future lives. Purport. A man engages in sinful activities because he does not know what he did in his past life to get his present materially conditioned body, which is subjected to the threefold miseries. As stated by Rishabhdev in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4, Nudam Pramattam Kurute Vikarnama. A human being who is mad after sense gratification does not hesitate to act sinfully. Yad Indriya Prithaya Aprinoti. He performs sinful actions simply for sense gratification. Nasadhu Manye. This is not good. Yata Atmano Yam Asan Api Kleshada Asa Deha. Because of such sinful actions, one receives another body, in which to suffer as he is suffering in his present body because of his past sinful activities. It should be understood that a person who does not have Vedic knowledge always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing at the present, and how he will suffer in the future. He is completely in darkness. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is Tamasi Ma. Don't remain in darkness, Jyotir Gama. Try to go to the light. The light or illumination is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when he is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when he transcends the mode of goodness by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. This is described in Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23. Yasya Devi para bhaktir yata Devi tata gurau. Tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. The Vedas enjoin tat vijnanartam sagurum eva vigacchet. One must approach a spiritual master who has full knowledge of the Vedas and be faithfully directed by him in order to become a devotee of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Vedas will be revealed. When the Vedic knowledge is revealed, one need no longer remain in the darkness of material nature. According to his association with the material modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, a living entity gets a particular type of body. The example of one who associates with the mode of goodness is a qualified Brahmin. Such a Brahmana knows past, present, and future because he consults the Vedic literature and sees through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshu. He can understand what his past life was, why he is in the present body, and how he can attain liberation from the clutches of Maya and not accept another material body. This is all possible when one is situated in the mode of goodness. Certainly, however, the living entities are engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. In any case, one receives an inferior or superior body at the discretion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, as stated in the previous verse. Manasaiva pure deva purva rupam vipashyati anomi mam shate purvam manasa bhagavan aja. Everything depends on Bhagavan or Aja, the unborn. Why doesn't one please Bhagavan to receive a better body? The answer is agyas tamasa, because of gross ignorance. One who is in complete darkness cannot know what his past life was or what his next life will be. He is simply interested in his present body. Even though he has a human body, a person in the mode of ignorance and interested only in his present body is like an animal. For an animal, being covered by ignorance, think that the ultimate goal of life and happiness is to eat as much as possible. Human being must be educated to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. There is even a book called Bhrigu Samhita, which reveals information about one's past, present, and future lives, according to astrological calculations. Somehow or other, one must be enlightened about his past, present, and future. One who is interested only in his present body and who tries to enjoy his senses to the fullest extent is understood to be engrossed in the mode of ignorance. His future is very, very dark. Indeed, the future is always dark for one who is grossly covered by ignorance. Especially in this age, human society is covered by the mode of ignorance, and therefore everyone thinks his present body to be everything, without consideration of the past or the future. So here we have the Yamadutas speaking. So we can see from what they're discussing, they're quite knowledgeable, right? They know a lot. They know technical, a lot of knowledge, how the material creation functions. And they're pointing out is because people are in the material world, then they're always going to be acting according to the modes of nature. And if you're acting according to the modes of nature, there's always going to be some punishment. That's their point. Therefore, the roughness of their kind of demure, their mood, their visage, everything is rough. Because for them, the main element is the punishment, because that's what they take care of. We don't see the Yamadutas deal with people on the heavenly planets and that. They go there, they enjoy. But when they suffer, then that's when the Yamadutas come into play. Right? They're the ones that take care of it. So, because the mode of goodness, though the best, it still has passion and ignorance combined within it. So there's always going to be a mistake. Krishna says this, fire is always covered by smoke. There's always something wrong, something not perfect. Right? So, because the Yamadutas, I mean the Vishnudutas are asking, why do you think that this person, Ajamil, should be punished? And what is therefore, and because that's because they're irreligious, so what is religion? So they're defining that following the Vedas, doing everything properly, that's religion. This is all defined by the scripture. And we see here that Yamaraj is performing his duties in contact with the super soul. So everything's working very nicely here. So what they're discussing is actually very advanced knowledge. Right? It's quite advanced because they know the Veda, they know the laws that are described in the Veda, how you cannot get out of them. It works that way. There's not some loopholes, right? You know, this is not the Delhi tax laws or something, that there's loopholes, right? So this is something that they know functions, and they know that Indra, being like Brahma, he can see past, present, and future. He's in touch with the super soul. So therefore, super soul then weighs everything, decides, and because Yamaraj is in contact with them, therefore then we know the punishment through Yamaraj. So all this they know, which is you can't say that this is just ordinary knowledge. But they don't know what's beyond this. They know the Supreme Lord controls everything. They know he's Paramatma. But they have no idea about bhakti. That's why the Vishnudutas are saying that they don't actually have real knowledge. So now the knowledge they have is like quantum leaps beyond what anybody in the material world has. Right? Except for someone properly trained, you know, within the Vedic culture. But other than that, no one would know what they know. But still, they're considered ignorant because they don't know about bhakti. Because ignorance is not knowing reality. So they know reality, how it functions here, but they don't know why this reality is functioning within the cosmos. So they don't appreciate the element of bhakti. That's the actual reason for all this being there. Is people are given the position within the material world to take up devotional service. So that's why Prabhupada's making the point, you should know what is your last life, what is present, what is future. Not from the mystical thing, not from an inquisitive, wow, you know, this and that, you know, what color was my 57 Chevy last lifetime? That's not what we need. Did we have the raccoon tail, or did we just have the dice hanging from the mirror? You know, that's not what's important. What's important is what is the last life, so therefore, what did you do that gave you this life? And why is that important? So that you don't do it again, right? One can say, oh, why would we come to that conclusion? The thing is why are we sitting here, right? Because we have a material body. How do you get a material body, right? It's because it's arranged just in the modes of nature. So unless you're an acharya, then that's how we took birth. But so we need to know what happened so that we don't do it again. And we have to know future so that we know what we're doing now. What result will that get us? Will that get us a position in the spiritual world or again within the material world? Because as we see that the Amadutas are saying, they're talking about being nice people, having knowledge, doing everything right. And you're going to take birth here again. They don't talk about beyond. They don't talk about getting out of the material world. They only talk about that everyone's going to go through, everyone's punishable to some degree. Right? King Nriga, his pious activities are like grains of sand. And it's not even said just on, you know, Venice Beach or Bondi Beach. It's said in the universe. Right? So there's a lot of beaches in the world, you know, in the universe. Right? You have 14 planetary systems, lots of planets within each one of them, and they all have beaches. So that's pious. But he made one mistake, so he ended up as a lizard. Right? Of course, it was his choice. He could have taken the pious acts and then taken the lizard at the very end. But he thought, hey, let's get rid of the one bad thing, and then we can go on enjoying eternally. Right? So Prabhupada says, points out, therefore, he's a fool. Right? So this is the Vishnaduta's point. If we're just thinking within the sphere of the material activities, even though it's perfectly based on knowledge, and we have all knowledge, we've missed the point. Right? Because the real point is devotional service. What it is that we did last life that was not supportive of devotional service? What are we doing now that's in support or not in support? What did we do in the and what will that give us results in the future? Because a birth of the material world, no matter how nice, is still in the material world. It's not ideal. Right? So we should know what gives what reaction. And we're not talking about, you know, I did this and so then I'll get that. We're talking about the principle. Because as far as detail, Yamadutas can give you detail coming out the ears. Right? They know exactly what you did, you know, and where you're going to end up and how many times they're going to toss you off the mountain. They know that really well, right? That's what they do for a living. Right? I say. This is like one quote. Somebody was saying, well, how come you're not so forgiving and all that? You know, it's just, you know, then they referred to, you know, like a priest or a nun, you know, they're forgiving. And then the person says, I'm an entertainer. Says, they do forgiveness for a living, right? You know, so of course they're good at it, you know, like that. So, you know, so the living entity, then by knowing the principles of what their life is based on, that's what's going to benefit them. We don't mean, here Prabhupada's talking about Bhrigu Samhita, that means it's bona fide, it's a bona fide thing. But what's it for? It's for understanding how you got here and how to get out of here. If you just want to know, you know, how much money you'll make, or this or that, or when are all my problems going to go away, then that's not what you're going to ask it. It's easy. When are all my problems going to go away? Never. Right? How long am I going to be in the material world? Forever, unless you take up serious pure devotional service. Right? So, yeah. So the whole thing is it's based on the Vedic literature, but the point of the Vedic literature is bhakti. If you miss that point, then like the Yamadutas, who easily they could get a PhD at any university in the world for the amount of knowledge they know, but they still have missed the point because it's about bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? Because we have to remember, they're talking about Narayan. They know how he's the creator and controller of the material world. They know that all the things that they're doing is based on his sanction. They know the whole system is set, is his system. But are they, so they're God conscious. But are they devotional? No. They're God conscious, but they're not devotional. So that's the advantage of the Vedic culture, is everyone is God conscious. Now it's just about making it favorable. Right? Right? Of the Vrishnis, then we see that they're all favorable to Krishna. But Kamsa, he was also a Vrishni, he was not. Right? But God conscious. So all the Vrishnis were God conscious. But it's a matter of, is it favorable? So we can be conscious of how Krishna is doing everything, and that's a step forward. But that it's favorable to Krishna in devotion, now that's what the Vishnu Dutas are talking about. That's what you're looking for. Because the other stuff, you know, it's nice, it's good, it's elevated, it's advanced. It'll get you to Tapaloka or Brahmaloka, but it won't get you back to Godhead. Back to Godhead means knowing Krishna in devotion, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That will get you back to Godhead. Okay. Any questions or comments from this? Yes. Mike. There's a switch either on the side or the very bottom. Which canto? Okay, and what did it get him? That's an important point, isn't it? Because that's the future.
Yeah. Well, you said he had devotion, so...
No, but you're missing the point. What did it get him? Anybody knows? God? Sayuja. Okay. He was thinking a little more. Does that make sense? So he got Sayuja. So, does that make sense? So therefore, that level of devotion will only get you that. See, if the point is to understand the context, not the words. It means the words are for carrying something, right? Let's say, like at lunch, I bring out a jug and I have some drink in it. So is it about the drink or the jug? Okay. So, if you really want to get into it, there is only the Lord, the living entity, in devotion. There is nothing else. Now, basically you can say all living entities are on the platform of the Brahman and Paramatma realization. Now, whether they understand that from following the Vedic culture or not, from not following it, that's another point. Because if we say everything is Krishna and it's everything is under his control, that we're meaning that. We're not just saying that because it, you know, we're saying, yeah, you know, what I'm doing is the best or something. Or does that make sense? Right. We're meaning that. So that means that all the rules in the universe, then people are following those and getting good results, or not following them and getting bad results. So now to follow them means I have to have devotion towards those rules. Right? The man who wants to be successful, let's say in money, he follows the rules of economics and applies himself with great devotion. Right? This is called Bhakti Mistra Karma. We're used to Karma Mistra Bhakti. This is Bhakti Mistra Karma. Devotees practice Karma Mistra Bhakti. The karmis, the materialists, they practice Bhakti Mistra Karma. You understand? Because You can only get a result in the material world if you apply bhakti to following the actual laws of God. That's why a successful man is successful. It's not a trick. It's reality that there are laws of economics. He follows them to the T and he gets his result. Problem is as soon as he gets the result, his bhakti is over. Right? So he understands the field. He understands who he is in that field. He understands the process. He understands what result he'll get. Right? So up to this point, it's all actually correct and perfect. But now, having gotten that result of, you know, big bucks, what is his purpose? What's the ultimate goal? His enjoyment, not Krishna. So we see at that point the bhakti breaks down. So therefore, in general discussions, we don't call it bhakti, because bhakti is stable, steady. Right? A devotee, he's always engaged basically in the devotional process. Now within that basic absorption, then we talk about what's unsteady and steady. Right? So when somebody comes steady, we call that nishta, when they're not anishta. Yes? Right. So, but the karmis, they're only getting results because of bhakti. This idea that there's our world and there's their world. No, there's only our world. It's not whether they recognize it or not. There is no other world. Right? This idea is that we're doing one thing, they're doing another. That's actually atheistic. But that's where we start from. We start off as atheists, and then we slowly develop the understanding of who we are, who's God, our relationship, like that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, there is a bhakti there. And there, because of that, he's getting the benefit. But he's only getting sayuja because he's not being attracted to the Lord. Now, if in the process of being killed by the Lord or by the Lord's devotee, he becomes purified, right? Means like Kamsa, he's being beaten by Krishna with his fist. He's getting purified of all his sinful reactions. Now, if in that moment before leaving, now he becomes attracted by Krishna's sweetness, then he goes to Vaikuntha. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all those soldiers there, basically they all went back to God. They went to Vaikuntha because they're purified by getting shot by Arjuna's arrows and then seeing Krishna there on the chariot in that purified state, they can appreciate his position. And so therefore, then they die remembering the Lord and go to Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? So, the point is because he's absorbed in the Lord, that's bhakti. But, is that the pure devotion that the acharyas are recommending that will get you into Braj? No, he went to Vaikuntha. He didn't end up in Braj. Does that make sense? So, yes, it's devotion. So, what's the point that is being made there? The point is no matter who you are and what your position, if you're somehow or another thinking of the Lord, that's good. Right? So that Kamsa is always thinking of the Lord or Shishupal, that's good. The problem is it's not to please Krishna. That's where the weakness is. Right? Let's say I take a good cook. They go into the kitchen, make a very wonderful potato sabji, and then after making it, they look at it and go, wah, and sit down and eat it. You know, or serve it to their girlfriend. So, what's gone wrong here? You know, the potatoes, were the potatoes okay? Okay, what about his cooking process? Was it okay? You know, was the end result okay? Yes. But he didn't offer it to Krishna. That's where it went wrong. So you have to understand the whole process. Otherwise, if you just take only words, then you'll be bewildered because words are used in many, many different contexts. And then if you can't catch the context, then you'll always be bewildered. Oh, here it says this, and there it says that. What am I supposed to do? So what do? Nothing. We just do whatever we want. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the existentialist, he sits there, who am I, this, that, anxiety, wants to kill himself, drives his car onto the railroad track, sits there, the train is coming, and that, and then the train goes by, and then after the train goes by, you see he was sitting on the wrong tracks. Okay, and then what does he do? The music picks up, light music, he drives off to enjoy himself. So, what's the point? You understand? So you have to understand the science. So it's just like Prabhupada makes the point that what we're saying and what the impersonalist is saying up to the level of liberation is exactly the same. Their process, our process to get out of the material world is exactly the same. But once you get out of the material world, that's where their process ends and ours becomes serious. Right? Then we go through bhava bhakti, come to prema, like that. You understand? Well, they just stop it. It's nice. This is great. Does that make sense? Yeah, but what's the difference? Like that. Okay, like say, they get up early in the morning because it's Brahma Muhurta and the best time of the day for spiritual life. We get up in the morning like that. They take their bath, we take their bath. They do some kind of sadhana, we do some kind of sadhana. Right? They keep themselves clean, they try to be truthful, they try not to bother other living entities, take from other living entities, try to follow all the rules. What's the difference? They say it's all Maya, we say it's all Maya. So what's the difference? The difference is their ultimate goal is not to please Krishna. So they're God conscious on the Brahman platform. But that's the point, is you can't really said to be really God conscious till you get to the Bhagavan platform. Paramatma platform and the Brahman platform are only aspects of Krishna. So if you don't know Bhagavan, you're not actually dealing with the full absolute truth. But for devotees, they can deal with the Brahman platform and see it's Krishna. It's his effulgence. Therefore, all the good qualities, we're looking, oh, when will the devotee as a community, when will we be all working together, cooperating, be truthful, be honest, you know, be loving. Loving, that's a generic concept. That's impersonal. So all the words I use, those are all words of Brahman. So devotees are looking for at least that nice Brahman platform within the community. Now, why it should be like that, they're not saying, oh, because this is how Krishna wants it, and this is how we're supposed to. No, you don't hear that. No one's going to say that. Because then I'll feel safe, comfortable, part of something. I can really get involved. You know, it's all about themselves. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but all they discussed was Brahman. They didn't discuss that it's supposed to be that way because God said so. Or, that's Paramatma level. Or, they didn't say it's Krishna likes it that way. That's the Bhagavan platform. Right? It's just like this. Why do we have sikhas? Krishna likes them. No, I mean really, why do we have them? You know, okay, because there's the chakras and the Brahma Rundras there, and then by putting the sikha there, it protects it from this and that. Oh, okay, great. So until we get a Brahman answer, we're not happy. Science to us means Brahman. Paramatma, we're not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole because that means rules, that means restrictions, means I'm not the center of the universe and controller, so we're not even going to go there. And Bhagavan, forget that. You know, nice stories, but hey, you know, then it's about him, not me. You understand? So, when we're talking technical things here, then the science then covers all these things. So the idea is to know where we stand in this, because you have to look at it from different angles. That's called vichar. So then you look at, the point is why is he getting benefit, right? Is Agasura doing some good activity, right? He's doing a very pious activity, going down and laying down on the road, right? He's engaging his full body in laying down on the road. Like that. You know, he's making the effort to open his mouth up to the sky. You know? What's he doing that he deserves Sayuja Mukti? Right? People spend lifetimes doing great austerities and studying the Vedanta and that to get that. Why? How did he get it in one moment? What did he do? Did he do any pious activity? No. So, he thought of the Lord. So now, this is the point you're supposed to get. Now, if he thought of the Lord favorably at that moment, the end of his life, or in some way, not even favorably, just he thought of the Lord, and that got him Sayuja, what will you get if you actually think of the Lord favorably? And then you take it further, and it's in devotion free from karma and gyan. Because there's the same kind of verses mentioned about, you know, that these other demons are getting, so what to speak of Mother Jashoda and others, right? You know that verse also? Okay, so then you have to put them all together. If you take one individually, then you get confused. You have to take it as a group, right? You know what I'm saying? If I take all the ingredients for a preparation, you know, do I get anything from it? I have ghee, I have sugar, I have milk, I have water, I have, you know, how you say, suji. So, do I actually get something from it? I have to put it together in the hall of it. Then that's when I get the benefit. And why am I putting together this hall of it? To offer to Krishna. So this knowledge has to be that it's going to be pleasing to Krishna, not just that I find it interesting. That's why I made the point about the Bhrigu Samhita. Understanding from there what is past, present, future lives, that's so you can understand how to get out of here, not just for interest sake for yourself. If you do that, that's a waste of time. Is that okay? Is that getting closer now?
Thank you.
Okay. We have 1 more minute or 2 minutes. Anybody else? Yes.
You're mentioning that the elder does they have a lot of knowledge, information. So it must have been from many, many lifetimes that this brings the knowledge. So what did they do wrong in order to become a Yama Duta?
What did they do wrong to become a Yama Duta? Okay. But you're taking it that being a Yama Duta is bad. I mean, they're quite happy. You know, it's just like this. If you took a Yama Duta and in the night scene walked them down the street, you know, I mean, people would turn their heads. People would take note. You know, the hairstyle, how they're dressed, the chains. You know, I mean, people would notice that, you know. You know, they go, wow, who are those guys? Yeah. Check out the dogs. Wow. You know, yeah. You know. It's sad to say, previously people would just be scared, but nowadays they go, cool, yeah. Okay? So, just, that's a side point. To become a Yama Duta means you had to be in Pitri Loka. So you're an associate of Yamaraj. So that means you're an extremely pious person. So how you can pious by following the Vedas, right? And then how are you following the Vedas to that degree? You must have been doing it for lifetimes. So now they end up on Pitri Loka, right? And they're there and they're happy and everything's going great. Now there's a small problem. They didn't put the effort into training their children and their relatives in the importance of practicing the Vedic culture. So what happens? Their children don't perform the Pitri Puja, right? The offerings to the forefather. So what does that mean? They get nothing to eat. They get nothing to eat, nothing, you know, they just don't get anything. No shoes, no umbrellas, no food, no nothing, right? Now, after a while, you get a little weird. If you haven't eaten for a long time, you start to get weird. So when your features get distorted enough, then Yamaraj takes pity upon, or mercy on, you know, kindness to them, that he gives them jobs as Yama Dutas, right? Because now they already look the part. Okay? Right? And so, then that means they can share in others' offerings. So they get their maintenance by that. Right? So you get a little bit from everybody else's, and then you maintain themselves. Right? So now, what does that mean? What's going to be your mentality? Anybody who's not religious and pious, you're going to have issues about that, right? So therefore, with great enthusiasm and zeal, they go out there and catch all the sinful people. Does that make sense? Okay. So the main point is they did not put enough effort into educating their family. They just worried about their own piety and didn't get into educating the value of it. Maybe the rituals they did, but they didn't understand the value. Therefore, the next generation didn't do it. That's why in the Vedic culture, education is the primary aspect. Right? Not the military. education is first, then military. Right? In the West, it's the other way around. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's what they did wrong. Okay. So time's up. Okay, Glint here. Gruntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.